A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus received the news of John the Baptist's death, he made the disciples get into the boat, going ahead to the other side where he would send the crowds away. After sending the crowds away, he went up into the hills by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, while the boat, by now far out on the sea, was battling with a heavy sea, for there was a headwind. In the fourth watch of the night, he went towards them, walking on the sea, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "'Tis a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But at once Jesus called out to them, saying, "Courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." It was Peter who answered. "Lord," he said, "if it is you, tell me to come to you across the water." "Come," said Jesus. And Peter got out of the boat and started walking toward Jesus across the water. But as soon as he felt the force of the wind, he took fright and began to sink. "Lord, save me," he cried. Jesus put out his hand at once and held him. "Man of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" As he got into the boat, the wind dropped. The men in the boat bowed down before him and said, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Having made the crossing, they came to land at Gennesaret. When the local people recognized him, they spread the news throughout the whole neighborhood and took all that were sick to him, begging him just to let them touch the fringe of his cloak. And all those who touched it were completely cured. The Gospel of the Lord. Superficially, this gospel looks like a passage about fear. The whole thing is governed by fear. The disciples are terrified and Christ tells them not to be afraid, but they cry out in fear. Even Christ himself shows some form of fear by taking his disciples away to the other side after he received the news of John the Baptist's death. It's the reality of the humanity of the incarnate God that you can feel these emotions. You can feel fear, doubt of sorts, not religious doubt. He can be astonished. He has to consider his actions. He has to think about them. And he has to pray. At this point, he has gone up into the hills himself to pray. The great moment is coming, the moment of decision. Surely, we must call this a form of fear. And yet, there's something else in this passage. It can't just be about fear. It's about something else that overcomes fear. Well, the letter, first letter of St. John, says perfect love drives out fear. That's a powerful phrase, but its meaning isn't obvious. You might think courage drives out fear. Christ says courage, be confident. But courage isn't actually the virtue that removes fear. Courage is the virtue that moderates fear, makes it useful, rational. There are things we should be afraid of. Certain caution in our life is good. We should be cautious in our relationships with other people. We shouldn't presume. We should be concerned about the danger of life, and we should be aware of those dangers. To have no sense of fear is to be reckless and irresponsible. Courage moderates fear and makes fear a useful thing, a proper part of the human being. Love drives out fear. But the fear love drives out is a particular kind of fear, the fear that separates. Fear doesn't always separate. Fear makes us companions of us all, is a phrase from the science fiction program Doctor Who. Fear makes companions of us all, but only because we have enemies, things we fear most of all outside. Fear is only a partial unity. Love is a true unity. And in fact, that's what this passage is really about, even though the word isn't mentioned. Why does Christ turn away from his prayer, his planning, his concern, his peace that he finds in the presence of his Father, which transcends him and fills his humanity? Because he sees the disciples in trouble. He knows their fear, he feels it. And it's in the night he comes, the fourth watch of the night, in the darkness. You're not so dark he can't be seen. And he walks in this sea, which is a stormy sea, a great headwind blowing against him. And he walks out of love. And Peter asks to come to him out of love. Tell me to come to you across the water. Come to you. Be united to you. Peter's not stupid, he's not reckless. He understands that there is a bond between Christ and all other human beings which is able to overcome all limitations. Love can walk in water. It's not a parlour trick then, they're not walking in water to show off power. I have to show what unity means. Nothing must come between that unity. People will walk in water, or walk through fire, or walk in the deserts, in the deserted places, the empty spaces of the world. They'll come into the crowds, the angry crowds, because of love. They'll not be afraid. Not that fear that separates us. And not the fear that binds us into little groups and tribes that make war with other little groups and tribes. Love makes us one. And even though Christ doesn't rebuke him for his lack of love, he does rebuke him for his failure to understand. Why do you doubt? And doubt there means not being sure of a truth, but rather being in two minds, being imbalanced. A Scots word for that, to swither, to go between two opposite opinions and not be able to stick to one. Love does not swither. Love chooses. Why can you not focus? And yet he takes him by the hand. If Peter can't come to Jesus, Jesus can always come to Peter. He holds him. And it's God's love, Christ's love, which is divine and human, that will unite us all. Love will make companions of us all.